think everybody, as they would have picked up on these reports on the radio, television, newspapers yesterday, on the internet, whatever, about this appalling, these appalling developments involving our SAS troops in Afghanistan. It really has impacted on people across the country. It's interesting that some of the commentary you hear, I think people are just stunned because over, you know, the decades, many, many decades, in fact, the Prime Minister talking of over a century of overseas service, etc., you always have this image that the regulations are so strict, so demanding, etc., and the Australians are so well performed historically that this has come as a hell of a shock. And the other point about it too is with our armed forces in this country, and maybe it's all countries, I don't know, but particularly here in Australia, the armed forces fundamentally become the custodians of our national pride. So, you know, Australians who are proud to be Australian all took a blow with this with these revelations yesterday. Here's what it said in the Cairns Post this morning. Retired Brigadier George Mansford has predicted the aftershocks of a damning report into alleged special forces atrocities in Afghanistan will be felt for years to come. Justice Paul Brereton's report into alleged war crimes has found credible information that soldiers of the Special Operations Task Group were involved in up to 39 unlawful killings, including 23 alleged murders. Brigadier Mansford, who served in combat operations in Malaya and Vietnam but now lives at East Trinity, said the entire military would bear the weight of this report. Now, the retired officer laid the blame for a warrior culture that had, according to the report, flourished among SOTG operators at the feet of poor leadership. The report did not indicate soldiers ranked above lieutenant intended to contribute to the alleged crimes. But echoing the Chief of Defence Force, Brigadier Mansford said, the alleged crimes were committed under a leadership that did not follow battle discipline. And he's with me on the line over at East Trinity, is retired Brigadier George Mansford. Morning, George.
G'day, Cobber.
This would have knocked you around yesterday.
Well, I think it's knocked everybody around. I mean, it you know, in a troubled world, November the 11th, we got together and we were having a great time, but all, the cloud was already there. And It's not our army, but it's happened. And you talked about consequences, mate. Well, they're real. I think the consequences are there for the army of the future and even the one today. I'd put money on it that right this very moment there are units revising their rules of engagement. And we can't afford to have too many rules of engagement if we're going to win wars. I might add, the other point, of course, is that we're talking about something where the trials haven't even been organised yet, let alone guilt or innocence. But the other consequence is suicides. I'll put money on it that if there's a lot of youngsters out there now, or veterans that are probably so desperate about this because they're caught up in it or disillusion, particularly SAS blokes, we could have that. Then there's the families. You know, the families themselves and the soldiers, the innocent soldiers, it's just staggering. I mean, the Canberra's already made a decision, as apparently yesterday, saying that they're going to get rid of the second or number two squadron, and they're going to take back the citations and so forth. Mm. Well, we're talking about 15 years of soldiers that have been there, and now they're going to be punished for what seems to be the crimes of a few. Mm. The whole thing is very poorly being approached, and I have to say, Johnny, that the community, they have every reason to be proud of their soldiers because 99.99% of them are. There's no doubt about that. And if there has been crimes, then they should be dealt with. But I'd make this point, and I know a lot of these youngsters that have served with the SAS and so forth, and know them backwards, is There's no such thing as bad soldiers in the Australian Army. It's bad officers and bad leaders. And so when we talk about blaming a few, and I don't condone it, but we have to look at the blame more than just that. Mm. It's procedures, it's attitudes, and it's politicisation. We've been too concerned about political correctness and all these other stupidities at the expense of attention to detail where it's necessary to train our soldiers for war and to support them and, where necessary, lead them. And I just find it we're not listening to history. We're just ignoring it, and it's staring us in the face. In the beginning of this century, what, 2000, they turned around. There was a protest from a lot of us when Australia turned around and agreed to sign the new process of rules of war, etc. And we protested because, well, some of us did. They were making rules up for us, which made we had our hands behind our back. Well, the enemies that we would probably be fighting would be ruthless, like the Taliban. They're ruthless. They use kids to bomb. They murder women and children as well. And that, I'm not condoning anything. If we've been guilty of that, then it has to happen. Somebody's going to get clapped over the ears. But the point is that we haven't learned from the fact that the British got done there. We haven't learned from the fact that the Russians got done there, and we're still not learning that the Americans are getting done there, and which we're embraced with it. And we're talking about an enemy that is absolutely first class. And so when you talk about the things that went wrong, and when you talk about the fact, or they talk about the fact that it's lieutenant and below, then what about the procedures at headquarters far beyond that? When you have politicians and generals talking about a kill rate of 5,000 and then you realise we've lost 20, that's an incredible kill ratio. And we're not talking simply about the ground and so forth. It smells. And it's been going on for 15 years, or started 15 years ago. And I just think that the other thing that they haven't learned, and I can say this with some authority, I've spoken to them. I've made the question to some of my friends, and why is it that we're rotating these youngsters around, going over there for 4 or 5 months, bring them back, and then send them back for another term of operations? Some of them, as you know, and the press has reported, 10 even more times. And the answer is, of course, that they're supposedly getting rest here. Well, somebody's not doing their sums. When soldiers come out of combat, they come home, but they've still got it with them. And if they know they're going back, it's not going to get worse. And then you've got the problem of, for example, if there's 10 tours of duty, that's 10 goodbyes, 10 hellos, and 10 altercations and 10 adjustments, getting to know the family and the wife again. It's huge pressure. And each time they go back, they're becoming more immune. They're more immune to all the horror and everything that's going around them. And I think they've pushed these blokes too far. And if you look at World War II, we didn't learn from that. You might recall the Air Force, RAAF and others, they did 20 bombing missions into Europe and so forth, and after that, they did no more. And we're asking that we've ignored all these. We talk about post-traumatic stress, but we've ignored it. We've ignored some of the cures, or not the cures, the causes of it and so forth. So I know I'm going on, Johnny, but I'm keen to answer any questions you've got. But
well, I'm just wondering, George, about the future. Bad. The future for those serving now in our armed forces, when something like this happens, and we haven't had any practice really at this, so we really are, we're not confident about making predictions as to the results of it, but Is there the possibility that when all these findings are ultimately revealed, you could see an undermining of those serving members of the pride in the uniform? Would it completely shatter their confidence that way, and maybe even have some people who are considering joining the armed forces change their minds?
I don't think you have to wait to see a guilty of or not guilty. That's happening right now, I would say. You're going to have people that are a bit reluctant going to the recruiting office. You're going to have parents that will probably not encourage them, and understandably so. Mm. And within the armed forces, what the community's got to understand is the soldiers haven't changed, nor is the command structure, nor is battle discipline. It's just that people are playing around with it. Mm. And when you get, and I've said this before, and it's related to this, is that if you've got a subunit of soldiers and you start to play around and experiment socially with it, etc., you're asking for trouble. You want a group that works together, stays together, whether it be black, white, brown, brindle, and they're given a clear mission. Mm. And the clear mission in the Army is to, firstly, is the rules of engagement, which are clear. Johnny, I've seen soldiers that go into action that when it's over, in the heat of battle, everyone's angry, and understandably so, that's the way of nature. But after it, not always, but after it, there's been incidents where wounded enemy have been looked after and even given a cigarette or a cup of tea. Mm. The fair go of the soldier hasn't changed at all. So the consequences are huge, getting back to your point. And they're going to have a big job. And my own personal comment is that stop this tomfoolery that it's a lieutenant and below. Mm. This is huge. It's right up to the top. Mm. And you can even embrace the political system, including the Minister for Defence.
Can I ask you this, George? You've just introduced this so-called political correctness. You've intimated there's been a corrosion of the effectiveness of leadership. How much of the contribution to that corrosion has been as a result of political correctness?
Well, the first thing I would say is that I still get invited to visit units every now and again, and I did that about 6 weeks ago. And political correctness has not impacted on them at all, the people I saw. They were young, they were keen, they understood their history and pride in their regiment. They had good comradeship. And the kudos between them and the rapport between them and the commanding officer down to the most junior soldier was excellent. And they were in such a stage and such a stage of training that it wouldn't matter what you've got in bloody Canberra, and it wouldn't matter what politicians say or don't say, that they're going to adjust and they're going to live up to the traditions of the Army and the Armed Forces. But it comes back to there has to be changes, and that's going to include higher rank. I mean, I just can't believe that for 15 years you've got soldiers that have the odd incident which accrues to being a serious matter, doing what they've been accused of doing, without some hint of it getting back.
Yes.
And we know some people have complained about it, but I suspect it was they tried to bury it.
Mm. This is going to go on for some time, George, isn't it? There's years in this.
Well, it's going to go on for some time, and it gets back to your question on political correctness and so forth. I mean, when you have it impacts. It's hard to describe because it's a military thing. But you know, when you're not allowed no longer to yell or scream at a soldier because it might upset him, when you have some people that get special treatment, you are destroying the very base principle of soldiering.
Yes.
Because it never has favourites. Mm-hmm. Favourites don't exist. They all wear the same uniform. They all have the same cause. They're all brothers and sisters, and they all bleed. And the moment you start to fiddle around the edges with that,
yes,
by people who've never understood it,
yeah,
by people that turn their nose, and rightly so. I mean, war's not good. But if you're going to have wars, if there's going to be a combat situation, then your soldiers have got to be prepared to fight.
Mm.
And fighting means killing. And I know that's a terrible thing to say, but that's the reality of soldiering. But what is not a reality is the fact of murdering other people.
Mm.
And that's totally unacceptable.
Mm.
And it's quite different it's premeditated, as opposed to a soldier in a situation where he has a few seconds or whatever to act.
Mm.
It's as simple as that,
yeah,
or as complex as that, I should say. Yeah.
Really appreciate this today, George. Thank you.
Thanks, mate.
George Mansford, the retired brigadier on the line over at East Trinity.